Hello, Mama. I hope your day is glorious. I'm staring outside at the beautiful sunshine and green trees swaying in the breeze. It's wonderful. So I hope you have been, just feeling the presence of God in your world, whatever that looks like for you. I know for me, nature is a big way that I feel God's presence, and I'm just reminded of his bigness. So I'm always like, loving that I'm staring outside. It's just this reminder that God is here with me. Speaking of nature though, I hope you enjoyed the eclipse. I know a lot of you lived in great places. There's a lot of girls in the academy that live kind of over on the East Coast or South. And I know you guys all got a much better view of it. So I hope that for those of you that live over there, you loved it. We got like, I don't know, I think I heard like 47 or 49% over here in California. I did not watch it, but my son did in TK, and he got these cool glasses, and he was really excited about it. So I'm glad that he had that experience, and it's pretty exciting stuff. I love it. So I hope you enjoyed that. I love being in awe of just God and how he put nature into motion and who he is, and it's just so cool. But today we are going to kind of dive into that a little bit about how God is in control and how we are not. And this is a hard one. As we're going through this series of suffering and how to suffer well, this is a big one. I think this is one of the biggest things that a lot of us tend to do that can derail us from suffering well. When we try and take control, when we try and do things our way, when we try and micromanage everything, it ends up making us suffer longer, making the suffering more intense. It prevents the fruit that God wants to bear in us. It prevents it from ripening and growing. And this control in our minds feels like the only option. It feels like what we need to do in order to survive, what we need to do in order to get through, what we need to do in order to make things better. But the bottom line is, it's just not true. When we try and control from our own flesh and our own human strength, it's only going to make things worse. And I think you know that. We're going to talk about some examples today of that and talk through this, because I think many of us struggle with this. And just know today I'm preaching to myself as well. Like, this is an area in my life that is really hard. I am a recovering perfectionist. And so as a, prior perfectionist, I try not label myself with that, because while we want to aim for excellence, trying to aim for perfect or expecting perfection is going to set us up for failure, because it's impossible to be perfect. God is the only one that's perfect. And so, but in that perfectionism, like, it's all about control, right? It's all about, this is how I see things. This is how I want them to happen. And when they don't happen that way, then I am derailed. I am stuck. I am going into a hole. And so this idea of letting go of control, it's hard. So we're going to talk through kind of what some examples are of where this shows up in our life. We're going to talk about how to get out of this. What are some of the steps we take in terms of just speaking truth to ourselves, and then also just some areas that when we are struggling in a season or an area of letting go of control, how do we handle that? How do we get through it well? How do we actually let go and trust God? So I hope you get excited. This is some heavy lifting, but it's well worth it, because there's so much fruit on the other side. There's so much that God wants to do in you as you release the grip that you're trying to have on your life, and you release it to the one that created your life, the one that actually is in control. So I hope you'll go on this journey with me and allow God to speak to you and move you today and see what he has to say about you. Let's do this. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama, I'm so excited to dive into this today. I know I always say I'm excited to dive into suffering. It's just, but it's so good. We need it. You know, we're living it. And when we don't talk about it, it actually makes things worse. It might feel better for a moment, but it's creating turmoil inside of us that we don't always recognize. Sometimes that comes out as physical symptoms, you know, stomach aches and, what is that word? When you have like a long standing illness or symptoms, I can't think of the word right now. My brain, as always, feels broken. But, you know, just these long-lasting symptoms in our body that are unexplainable often stem from these things we're not dealing with inside of ourselves at an emotional, mental, spiritual level. And so confronting them can feel heavy and dark and overwhelming. And, you know, you definitely need to do it, especially if you're in a season where there is a lot of darkness, there is some bigger things, or there's a lot of big things you've been pushing down your whole life. You are going to want to do that in community, which I wasn't even going here, but that does remind me. That is why I created the Morning Mama Academy, or the Healed Mama Academy, so that you can do your healing in community. Women heal in community. And so when we get to go on that journey together and see that we're not the only ones in this, we see that other people struggle with the exact same things we're struggling with, the exact same thoughts, the exact same situations. It's every week that we meet for group coaching, a woman says, oh my gosh, I struggle with that exact same thing that so-and-so just said, because we are not alone. Like, it's a lie from Satan that we are alone, that we're the only ones that feel this way. And when he can get us to believe that, it keeps us stuck, because then we don't believe that healing's available to us. We believe that we're just broken, we're just different. But when we can come together and see that we are all in this, we are all broken and hurting and struggle with lies and struggle with fear, then we can come together and say, like, oh, you too? Okay, well, God wouldn't leave both of us here, and you and me and her, like, he's not going to leave all of us here. So there is hope available to me. There is healing available to me. And so there's something so powerful about healing in community. And so I would love for you to join us on that healing journey. You can go get all the details at morningmama.co. That's morningmama.co. We meet weekly for group coaching, and then you work through video and worksheet content on your own, where I walk you through restoration theory and teach you how to understand what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, and how to change the behaviors that stem from those feelings. And I break it down in a really simple way so that you can finally change the patterns in your life. So I hope you'll come and join us, morningmama.co, and I would love to see you over there and really get to know you. But I don't know where else I was going with that originally, so I'm just going to dive into my notes. I think control, letting go of control, is one of the hardest things for us. I just often have these ideas in my head, kind of like I talked about earlier, about how things should go or how I want them to go. And these ideas are like intense. And honestly, I've really gained more and more power over this. This used to take over my life in a much greater way. In fact, I was just telling my son this week about one of those stories. He was struggling because, I can't even remember what it was. He was disappointed that he couldn't get the dinner he wanted or something, you know, silly and little, right? And so we look at our kids and we're like, why are you so upset about this? Really, it's not a big deal. But we forget, it feels like a big deal. This is what happens, right? So these moments of losing control, these reminders that we're not in control, they happen over the little silly stuff, and they happen over the bigger stuff, right? Like, sometimes it's just we're longing for this sense of safety. We're longing to be assured that we're going to be okay, that our kids are going to be okay, that our marriages are going to be okay, whatever it is. Like, we just want that assurance of, like, just tell me for sure it's going to be okay. And so we get so caught up in trying to control everything in order to try and create that assurance that everything's going to be okay. The problem is, right, like, that's actually not possible. And when we are in a season of suffering, or even just a moment of suffering, the suffering is coming on. Sounds silly, but it does, right? Like, my plan isn't as I want it to be. And that moment of suffering leaves us in a place where we are confronted with this fact that we are out of control. And in order to try and get through that, oftentimes we just go into that control mode where it's like, I left to feel more in control, right? I tried to control it by just removing myself, right? And now we can see the bigger picture, like that's not actually going to help here. That's actually making things worse. But in those moments, it's hard for us to see this. And so I want to talk through that today. But any kind of suffering that we're walking through, we're going to be dealing with this loss of control, because suffering is kind of, I think that's part of what suffering is this loss of control, the picture that we thought how things should be is not how they are. And that creates a moment of suffering or a season of suffering. Another example, this is one that's been true a lot in my life, is when you have sick kids. Every time my kids would get sick, it would mean that I would have no childcare for that week, you know, because it's not just a day and there's multiple, and, you know, just derail everything. And so I would be so looking forward to working and doing these things. And then there it would be, there's a sick kid and this, none of this is going to happen, right? And when you have these plans and you're looking forward to them and you have this vision for how things are going to go, how it's going to work out, you have these fun things lined up, right? Whether it's work or whether it's like, we're going to go to the beach with some friends and now we can't because we're like, you know, we don't want to share sickness with this family and whatever it is. Or maybe it's, you know, some other event that you've been looking forward to for months, maybe longer, and you can't go because of the sick kids. I know I just heard there was a family that got sick right before Easter, and it's like, that happens. And now all of a sudden you can't even go to Easter service. And these outfits you've got picked out, like they're thrown to the wayside. At least you can save them for Mother's Day. Actually, that's what I was thinking, because we did get to go to Easter service, but it was freezing and pouring down rain over here. It was so strange. And all the outfits are like dresses and, you know, short sleeves. And I was like, okay, this is not working out. So, but I'm like, oh, Mother's Day is just around the corner. So saving those. I love doing matching outfits with my kids. Anyways, control maybe. So yeah, you have these sick kids, you don't have time for yourself, right? Or time for your husband, and all depending on the severity of the illness. You know, I was talking with someone in the academy last week and their whole week was derailed because there was a stomach flu. And it felt like the week before that had felt like, oh my gosh, we're making progress. All these things are happening. God is doing this work. And then the sickness came and it was like, oh my gosh, everything is ruined. Our marriage is ruined. I haven't slept. These kids are horrible. The house is a mess. Like everything feels derailed, right? Everything is out the window. And, you know, even like maybe your plans, maybe you've been like, okay, I'm going to start waking up early and I'm going to work out and I'm going to spend time with God. And like, you're trying to get into this rhythm and trying to do this. And then your baby gets sick and they're up all night. And you're like, well, now I can't wake up at 5 because I just went to sleep an hour ago. Like, this is frustrating. I want my life to look like XYZ, right? And it's so frustrating. And then, of course, there's the bigger things, right? We're talking about some of the silly small things that can derail us and are frustrating. But then there's the real big life moments that all of us inevitably at some point are going to walk through some of these. And it's death, job loss, financial hardship, betrayal, diagnoses, divorce, right? Some kind of trauma. Like, I mean, some of those can fall into the category of trauma, but maybe an unrelated trauma, car accident, you know, you name it. Like these things that we do not see for our lives, they come into the picture. And obviously those in a big way derail and disrupt what you thought life should look like. Right? It reminds me of the book that I keep referencing to you that you absolutely should read. It's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkhurst. And she talks all about this and it's amazing. So good. So if you're in a season of suffering, I'll mention it to you again. Go read it. But it's like, it's not supposed to be this way, right? You're like, wait a minute. This is not how my life is supposed to go. This timing couldn't be worse. Like how can this reality be my reality? And it feels unfair. It feels hopeless. It feels crushing. It feels like so deeply wrong. Like how can this be allowed to come into my life? how could God allow this, right? It goes to that level as well of like trying to understand God and feeling sometimes betrayed by God of how could God allow this? And we're not really diving into that today, but that is absolutely, well, I guess we'll dive into it a little bit at the end, but that's absolutely work that you need to do. If your life has been derailed by any of these or any other big things, or even the small things, really, you've got to do that work with God to process that and to talk to him about what you're feeling. Like, God, I don't understand. I feel betrayed by this. God, I don't understand how you could allow this into my life. I don't understand the timing, right? And that work is so necessary in order to have a healthy relationship with God. Like, I think sometimes people get stuck in feeling like they need to only ever be reverent to God and they only ever just need to praise him and thank him. And we need to do all of those things, obviously, but we also need to be authentic and work through things. And this is something I've talked about in recent episodes, just like about David in the Psalms and how he cries out to God and is super honest and vulnerable and says, God, I don't understand this. How could this be? And he lets it all out. And then he always turns it back around at the end and says, you know, but God, you're so good. And I imagine some of those times when he turns it around, he might not feel any of that. Most likely he is rehearsing the truth. He probably doesn't in that moment when he is running for his life and he is about to die at any moment and he's trying to do the right thing, but he's in hiding amongst all the other things he went through, right? And it feels unfair. It feels like his life is on pause. It feels like, why is this happening to me? I only ever did the right thing. And he doesn't understand why God would allow this into his life. And that's what he's feeling. And when he says, but God, you're so good. But God, I trust you. I imagine, now I wasn't there. I haven't talked to him. But I imagine a lot of the times he was saying that, he was just speaking the truth over his life. He was reminding himself of a truth that he knew up in his mind and in his heart, but he wasn't necessarily feeling that. He might not have even like had any emotion attached to that, but he is just reminding himself of the truth that God, you are good. And when we rehearse that truth and when we choose that truth, it eventually our feelings will catch up. Eventually we will get there, but it's okay if you're not there. That is not a sin for your emotions to not be there. There's no shame in that. And we need to be able to be in that raw, authentic space with God so that God can help us through that, that God can heal those broken places in our that have been broken with our trust with God. Because if we try and ignore it and we try and keep going, it's going to be like we have an injury that we're not healing and we're going to be walking with a limp and trying to follow God, but we're going to be slow and we're going to end up hurting ourselves worse because we haven't dealt with the injury that's there. So make sure, maybe you have this from the past. Maybe you dealt with this a long time ago and you never knew how or knew that you were allowed to do this kind of work with God. And I encourage you to go back and do that work. Talk with God about those hurting places, those places where you don't understand what he was doing, why he allowed something, and repair that. And bring in community, bring in your pastors, bring in your connect group, come into the academy, like do that work with us. Whoever it is, make sure you're doing that work in community, because when we try and do it isolated, we can get lost in the lies. We can get lost in confusion. We can get overwhelmed. And so we do need to bring others into that process. But I'm kind of going off topic here. So, although that's all very important, but all of these things, when our life is derailed this way, this is not how God originally intended our lives to be. This is not when he created us, the beginning of time, created humanity. This is not his plan, his first plan for us, right? Whether it's the sickness with the kids or a big blow to our life, all of these moments of suffering are the result of sin. When humanity chose sin, we chose suffering. And now that we have chosen sin, and with sin comes suffering, God, in his goodness, takes that suffering and now uses it to help us and grow us and change us and shape us and uses it for beauty in our lives. And that's what we've been talking about a lot in this series. I gotta keep reminding us, because I need that reminder every day, because that suffering is so easy to get distracted by and be like, but this doesn't feel good and this doesn't look like it's good. And so it's so easy to get stuck in that space. But I want to focus today on some of the typical responses that we have to these moments of suffering, to what happens when we feel out of control. And then we're going to talk about how to stop it. And we'll carry this on to the next episode. But often these things happen for many of us. And, you know, these moments in our life, the big or the small, and it triggers that feeling of out of control. You know, that's part of what I teach in restoration theory through the academy, is I teach you to identify your core wounds. And it's funny, because for almost everyone that walks through, everyone's core wounds are different, but almost everyone has some form of the word out of control in what's called their pain cycle. And the pain cycle consists of the three core wounds that you have, along with the three core ways you normally cope with that in terms of anger, anxiety, performance, long list. But one of the core wounds almost all of us carry, and I don't know if it's because we're in this season of motherhood or it's just part of being human, but one of the main ones I see again and again is that feeling of out of control. And this, so I think for most of us, this or something similar is that core wound, and it stems from a violation of safety that happened in our childhood. And I go more into this in the academy if you want to learn more about it. But this violation of safety creates this core wound, and it disrupts our sense of trustworthiness. And this happens because we grow up with imperfect parents, right? Like, our parents are human, which means they're sinners and they're imperfect no matter how great they are, no matter how hard they try. Same goes for us as parents. Like, no matter how great we are, no matter how hard we try, we're going to wound our kids in some way because we are broken and wounded ourselves. And not just our parents, but the world obviously is also broken and also leaves us wounded. And so we get this core wound of feeling out of control. And many of us have a typical response to this, which when we feel out of control is that we then go into our destructive coping, and this is part of the pain cycle. And from that, we try to take control. And this can look like different things to different people. Sometimes it's people performing and trying to people please and trying to control how people perceive them. Sometimes it's being controlling to others and trying to control others' actions and making sure your husband only ever loads the dishwasher a certain way, or making sure your kids are perfectly dressed at all times and all of their homework is done right on time. And none of that is like inherently bad, but you get the picture of sometimes like what this can look like. And it could be also anxiety. I think anxiety is this our minds trying to gain control over something that's uncontrollable, right? Your mind cycles through these different thoughts and beliefs, trying to assure you that things are okay. It's trying to think through all the possibilities of what could happen. The goal, I think, is to try and to feel in control. Like, if I can think of all the possibilities, then maybe I'll feel in control. And actually, we all know that that doesn't actually help us, right? It just spirals us more. It creates more feelings of fear. It takes us in the opposite direction than we're trying to go. But I think that anxiety is a form of us trying to control things. And feeling like we need to take control is what we do, because what is happening around us is out of our control. Right? Like, it is. That's the truth. What's happening around us in many ways is out of our control. But just like we talked about anxiety, just bringing us in the wrong direction, other forms of control as well, as we try and control our environment and everyone around us, they don't solve the issue. They only worsen it. Right? Anytime that we are acting out of our destructive coping from our pain cycle, it's only going to make things worse. And so even like one of the things I see in people as well is one of the forms of control people have is performance. And this can look really pretty and shiny on the outside. It can mean like you're a really high achieving person. Maybe as a kid, you got great grades all the time, right? Maybe you're like, you excel at all these things and you sign up for all of the committees. But the thing is, if that's done out of a place of pain, whether that's feeling out of control, or that could also stem from different violations of love, which is more like identity. So feeling not good enough. And so you're trying to compensate, but we're not going down that today. So that also could be true, but it also could be from a place of feeling out of control and you're trying to control your environments. And so anything you do out of a place of pain is only going to lead to more destruction, because even if you're high achieving, if you're doing it from that place of feeling out of control, it's not for the right reasons, and it's going to drive you further from the core truth of being able to rest in knowing that actually God's in control and I don't actually have control over my life. But you know, I also like to think of it like this, like in terms of people that kind of are more controlling over their environments and controlling over other people, like how does it feel? How do you respond when you have a boss that is hyper controlling and a micromanager? Like, what is that environment like when you're not allowed to make a mistake, or that there's so many rules that you can't keep up and you can't even remember them in order to follow them? And it's so overwhelming. If you've ever been in any situation, whether it's a teacher or a boss, and we're not talking like a healthy sense of like, this is clear expectations, right? We're talking over controlling, micromanaging, no freedom. You know, and often it's like, you know, the expectations aren't clear and there's, you know, you're getting in trouble for things you didn't even know were expected of you, which I think happens when we are controlling towards other people. We're often not even clear in our expectations, but however it shows up to you, like that's the environment that's being created. It puts people on edge. Creativity is lost. Like I imagine myself being in a work environment that have been similar to that. And I am on edge all the time. Like I am not enjoying my work. I'm not able to function properly. Creativity is gone because there's a fear of like, well, is this allowed? Right. And so you don't even let your brain go to a creative space or even a problem solving space. Peace is lost. Joy is lost. That sense of safety and security goes out the window. Right. And so when we are trying to control our worlds, this is the kind of environment that we're setting up. And I think a lot of us can kind of see that for the most part. And not always. Sometimes we have blind spots or we don't realize maybe how our husband feels around us or even our kids. So I take that back. I don't think we always know it. I think it is often hidden. But this is what happens when we do this. And this trying to control is only going to lead to destruction. So initially, the first thing you want to do, and then next episode, we're going to go into more of the kind of big things that I want to walk you through in order to kind of let go of control and what that looks like. But first, you got to start with regulating, which starts with the truth. So again, in restoration theory, I walk you through all of the four steps of regulating, but the third step is naming the truth, right? So how the steps go is I feel out of control. I would normally be controlling, but the truth is, and here are the three truths I want to share with you really briefly as we wrap up. I actually have three truths for this one wound. One of my core wounds is out of control. And usually you just have like one truth to speak to that wound. But this one, it shows up in different ways. And so I hope this will help you. So whenever I'm feeling out of control, these are the three different things I need to tell myself. Number one, God is in control. This is what we've been talking about, right? God is actually the one in control. I am not in control. God is, though. God is in control. And so reminding myself of that in situations that feel like, how could I possibly just let this go? Because I'm so scared to let it go for fear of what might happen. I remind myself, God is in control. Number two, I can only control myself. So this is another one that I have to speak to myself of, reminding me when I'm frustrated with someone else's actions or frustrated because I want someone else to change, whether it's my husband or my kids or somebody else in my world, I can only control myself. That's the only person I have control over is my own choices, my own self. And that helps me release that feeling of out of control when I just so desperately want someone to change. And the third choice, and we can obviously go a lot more into all of these, but I'm just going to give them to you and I would jot them down if this is something you struggle with, and you can speak these over yourself when you find yourself in this situation. The third one I speak to myself is that I always have choices. So when I'm feeling that out of control, I often feel stuck, like there's nothing I can do, right? Like I'm stuck. This is the like, this is out of my hands. It's out of my control. There's nothing I absolutely can do. And that feeling is obviously going to lead to destruction. But I remind myself that no matter what, I always have a choice. And this is something I try and instill in my kids as well. I always have a choice. I have a choice about how I'm going to behave. I have a choice about what I'm going to focus my mind on. I have a choice about how I'm going to respond to someone else's sin. I always have a choice. And so that just empowers you to be able to take action even when you're in an uncomfortable position. So I hope that those truths will help regulate you. And then step four of our four steps is always number four is your new action. So instead of controlling, and what mine is relax and let go, right? So instead of trying to control, or maybe getting anxious, I'm going to relax and let go. Great. So we regulated ourselves. Going through those four steps, get your brain regulated. But how do we actually live in this space? How do we keep showing up there where we're actually able to relax and let go? What are the spiritual things that we need to do and the practical things that we need to do in order to stay in this truth and actually craft our lives in a way where we can believe this and we're living this out? And that's what we're going to go into in the next episode. But let me pray for you. God, I just thank you so much that you are in control. God, in a world that feels so chaotic and so out of control, and in lives that feel so chaotic and out of control sometimes, God, I thank you that we can always look to you and know that you are good and you are in control, God. And I thank you for that, God. I pray that everyone struggling with that, God, that they would seek understanding over those moments in their life they just can't understand, God. And I pray you would speak so loudly to them and bring healing to broken places, God. I pray they would have the courage to look at it closely and see where they have let breaks in trust into the relationship with you, God. And I just pray that you would give them all the resources they need to heal those broken parts. I pray for just an authentic prayer life with you. I pray for people to come alongside them. I pray for a community to open up in, God. We just thank you for the work you're going to do inside of them, God. We love you, God, and we thank you that we can always trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama. If you found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you.